Good to have all of you with us this morning. We're going to return to our series of studies that we've been looking at in 1 Timothy. We took a little break from it back when Norm Wells was here. And I just felt the Lord leading me in other directions up till this week. And so we're going to look back into it again. We're in part 5. If you would turn to chapter 1. In our previous messages, we looked at the different instructions that our Lord was giving us. You know? We looked at where Paul calls the gospel in verse 11. A glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed unto my trust. This gospel, what the Lord sends his ministers out to preach to his people, the very gospel that Christ uses to save his people with. How are you going to know who to call upon if you've never heard of the true and living God? How are you going to know who to call upon if all you've heard about is a weak God who is waiting for you to do something? Waiting for you to make a decision, to get baptized, to sing pray a prayer, or sing a song, or talk to a minister. God uses his preaching, the preaching of his gospel, Christ in him crucified, not only to save his people, but to feed his people. We go around through this world all the time. We're out in it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, except for when we're sleeping. And we have to live with the things around us, don't we? How easy it is for us to forget who the true God is of this world. Hearing the gospel preached every week reminds me the flesh is weak. It reminds me that I need to turn to my Lord. I'd like you to look at verse 9 through 14 with me this morning. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I'd like to take a moment this morning. I'd like to take a moment and consider these very words that our Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to pen in regards to the grace, the very same grace that is shed upon all for whom Christ died that day on Mount Calvary. There are no different treasures for others than there are for this or for that. We all have the same treasure, Jesus Christ the Lord. If you're looking for something more than that, then you don't see him as Lord. If you're desiring something more than Christ, another feather in the hat, or another reward for whatever it is you've done, then you don't know the Lord. The grace of God is abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ our Savior. That's what it says right there in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord, which was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not in something we have done. You know, Rick, you're a very nice guy. I like you a lot. But the Lord doesn't love you because of you. He loves you because of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that goes for every single one of us. It's not what we have done. It's not what we can do. But it's what He has done. Amen. The power of God shed His blood on a cross a little over 2,000 years ago for all of those for whom the Father gave Him. And the power of God's blood was shed, and that power, accomplished what it was shed for. Salvation is of the Lord. The grace of God is abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ our Savior. Faith, a gift of God, is given because Christ's faithfulness, as we saw in Friday night's Bible study. In the book of Galatians, it talks about Christ's faith and it talks about our faith. You got to have both. You can have faith in anything, but if it's Christ wasn't faithful in what He did, your faith is worthless. Christ being faithful in what He did, you've got to believe that. You have to have faith in that. They both go hand in hand, but they are two separate things. Because of His faithfulness, because of what He did, because of that agreement that He made with the Father, the covenant before time began, God the Father gave God the Son a people that God the Son would go to the cross and pay their sin debt. And that in the day of His love, God the Spirit would come to them and quicken them, giving them life, just as Lazarus received life in the tomb. When Christ said, "Come forth," life was already there. To prove how that was so miraculous, He came bound in his burial wrapping still. Picture what that must have looked like. I can see somebody like kind of like this, and it's just floating to Christ. I don't know who said it, but there's somebody, I remember somebody said one time, you know, if he hadn't called Lazarus by name, the power of God spoke, every single body that was in a grave would have come right out of it at that time. That's the power of God. Abundant faith, abundant grace is the title of my message this morning. God's grace is sufficient. So much so, there is an abundance of it. More than I need. Great is thy faithfulness, we sing. The faithfulness of Christ. Once again, we can see how all the glory is His. Even the glory He has instilled in each of us is a work of His glory, for His glory. My faith, my belief, is a direct result of His abundant mercy, of His abundant grace, which is in His great Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. In Ephesians 1:3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Any blessings that we receive come through Him and from Him. Isn't that wonderful? In Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Oh, I love that. I love that word. We sit in heavenly places right now. I know it's a hard thing to picture. I deal with the same mirror that you deal with. The same mirror that looks back at this flesh and sees what we have in this world. But that's the wrong thing to be looking at. Because this is going to be the way it is until the Lord takes us out. Look to Christ. Turn away from that thing in the mirror that we see before us. And turn to our Savior. Perfect in every way. We were talking about this in Bible study this morning. We're looking at some specific instructions on how to discipline the congregation, how to discipline, how to make, how to deal with discipline in the church. And I reminded everybody at the end of our study that we try the best we can. God help us to turn from sin. God help us to. But if you say you have completely, then you are lying to yourself. We must look to Christ as our perfection, because that's where perfection is. And by the shedding of His perfect blood on that cross, salvation is abundant. It's more than you need. It's all that you need. Dave, King David, he put it this way in the 23rd Psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We see all the chaos going on around us. We come into this little building, some of us twice a week, most of us once. What peace we can see right here today, knowing that our Lord and Savior has everything under control. There's no chaos with Him. Folks, we're in green pastures. It's hard to see that when we walk through this world, through this valley of the shadow of death. "He leadeth me beside still waters," it says. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We don't have to worry about what that government is doing. Go out and vote. That's our responsibility. As the people of this country, we should vote. But we don't have to worry about what's going to happen, whether we win the vote or lose the vote, because our God has it already worked out for us. And it's going to happen exactly the way He wants it to, because He's God Almighty. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me." You see the abundant love that He has for His people? "Where two or more are gathered, I shall be in their midst. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Jesus Christ is our rod, and He is our staff. And He comforts me in all the ways that throughout this world. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And here's what I want you to hear. We're talking about abundant grace. He says, "My cup runneth over." What more do we need? The word in this case, the word abundant, is actually more than just that. It's used twice in Scripture, and both times right here in the 1 Timothy verses 1, verse 14. The word is huperple anadzo. Not bad, huh? I got that out. Woo! I look to Cheryl because she's always helping me most of the time get through that in Friday night Bible study. It means to superabound. It doesn't just mean to abound, to fulfill your cup or anything, but to overflow your cup. All kinds of over, just running over. God's grace is so good to us, folks. It means to be exceeding abundant, more than enough, as it is stated in my margin. It simply means this: it's all I need. Everything I need is in my Savior. If I'm down and out about what's going on in the world around me, stop and look to my Savior. He's got it all. All of a sudden, that abundant love starts coming in. He fills my heart. Calvary covers it all. What abundant mercy and grace. What Christ faithfully fulfilled by submitting himself as my substitute fills my cup with his grace. When I see how much of a sinner I am and what I should be receiving as a condemned unclean, when I see myself as once a blasphemer, once a lost sinner, but now I'm found, I can sing that song, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. It's abundant. Even when I fall to my knees, crying out for forgiveness for those sins, crying out for strength to turn from them, my Lord's grace is sufficient. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, if you would, please. You know, it's easy to think that the apostles were extremely blessed with supernatural visions and miraculous revelations. That was then. Those were things that happened then. No one's ever seen them since. But in reality, we all see the very same visions in today's world, don't we? Right here. We see the same miraculous things right here that the apostles saw. That's why they wrote them down, so that we could see them. So we can picture in our minds, so the Lord can take His Word and apply it to our hearts. We see the very same visions. We all have the same revelations. And when God is pleased to press this upon our hearts, we too must take care not to become puffed up with them. Look at me. I'm a child of God. I've got God on my side. All of a sudden, we start thinking a little better of ourselves than we should, don't we? Look at verses 6. Verse 6 of chapter 12. For though I would desire to glory, listen carefully, folks. This is what I was just talking about. Allowing ourselves to get puffed up because we're children of God. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted, lifted up, above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to write, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let us never forget the pit that our Lord pulled us out of. I believe this is why we still fall into great sin. I believe this is why our Lord allows us to fall into that very thing. You know, when Jonah ran from the Lord, was that not a sin? Did the Lord not allow him to do that? Jonah had to run. There was a lesson for him to learn. And it was a tough lesson to go through. A lesson of death. Could you imagine what it was like for the reeds to be wrapping around his neck, as he describes in scriptures? inside of a big fish. But yet then the Lord spit him out on dry, had the fish spit him out on dry land. And what was the lesson learned? Salvation is of the Lord. What a wonderful lesson to learn. May God teach me that every moment He can. It is our very nature in this flesh. And secondly, we are reminded of how great our Savior's grace is when He pulls us out of that fall into sin. When He reaches down, as He did with Peter, and He grabs his arm and says, "O ye of little faith." Peter was reminded of the love God has for him. How often are you reminded of how much God loves you? How often do we sing this, "I am weak, but Thou art strong. Oh dear Lord, keep me from all wrong." Our sins may ever be before us, folks, but our heavenly advocate is more able than our sins are. He who is perfect, holy in everything that He has done, everything He did pleased the Father, even the death of the cross. He became a curse, for cursed is all who hangeth upon a tree. He bore our sins in His own body. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, "For He hath made Him," God the Father had made God the Son, "sin for us." Speaking of God the Son who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The abundant faith, the abundant love is in Christ. Our righteousness is in Christ. Everything we have is in Christ. Are you starting to get the picture of that cup and how it's overflowing for each and every one of us? I know we're going through some tough times. Some of us are going through some really tough times and have gone through some very tough times. But we can sit back and say, look what the Lord has brought us through. His mercy and His grace brought us through abundantly. And here we are on the other side of that trial, still looking to Him and praising Him for all that He has done for us. What a wonderful God we have. He no longer leaves us to ourselves. Forty years I spent the Lord leaving me to myself. Thank God the day of His love came and His Spirit called me out of that self and brought me into the living life of Jesus Christ. You see the abundant mercy and grace that we're talking about this morning? We can see the sin in this flesh that we have. But here's the wonderful news. God sees His people in His Son. He doesn't look down upon John Reeves. He looks down upon what His Son has done for me. We are clean and pure as He is right now. God saw the blood of His Son and the angel of death passed us by. Our God does not do anything halfway. He does all things well. That's one reason that we can say He's not waiting for us to do something. Whatever we could do would not be enough. But God, oh how I love those words too, but God. In 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Okay, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places, and many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I am reading the wrong scriptures. Okay. I apologize for that. I blame my wife. She's not here. No. I'm not sure what happened with that. As we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we grow in our love and in our faith. We learn to trust more and more of Him. Now, some may dispute that we grow in faith, but we learn over time. As our Lord takes us and pulls us out of those very things that I spoke of a moment ago, we learn more and more, don't we? We grow more and more in trusting our Savior. Well, I know I can trust Him. Look what happened the other day. Look how He saved me from that. Look how He brought me through that. As we come through the trials of this flesh, we see more and more the rule of this one who has over all that is. We see His abundant love for us. We turn more and more from the ways of this world and we turn to Him. This is what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, where it reads, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." We are a new creature because we turn away from trusting in our own flesh. We don't even trust in our own thoughts anymore. We can trust in Him for sure. But let us question what we see in the flesh, including our thoughts. Look into God's Word. Be as the Bereans, noble in every way, to see if it is so. We turn from our natural ways of this world and we turn to our Lord who is sovereign ruler over all it is. We are born again, as the scripture calls it. We are a new creature. We have a new nature. We read words like this in Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Did you ever say that before? Do you remember a time when your trust was in your own flesh? Well, we've got to go through certain things to learn that our Lord is ruling over all that stuff and controlling those things. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Is that cup starting to fill? Is it overflowing yet? If not, who shall lay anything? You know what's coming next. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I know I got all this sin. But who's going to lay that to me? My Lord and Savior has already taken it upon Himself. All that sin was already laid upon Him. All the sin that I'm going to commit today, tomorrow, and the next day, which I'm really trying not to. And I want not to. And it bothers me when I do. But that's already been laid on Him and punished in Him. The price has been paid. The wages of sin is death. And my Lord died for my sake. What about yours? Is the grace of God becoming abundant to you? Is the love of God abounding in your heart? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? That was mine. That one's not going to go to hell because I've already gone there for him. I paid for this one. It's mine. I paid for this one. He's mine. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can you? Is your will stronger than God's? If it was his will to go to the cross for you, do you think he would not have you? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Is the cup starting to flow? It isn't mine. My cup overflows with the abundant mercy that my God has for me. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Is there anything else that you can think of to put there? We don't need to. God's already put it all right there. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your cup is starting to flow over the sides. I know I don't deserve it. I know I can't earn it. That's what makes his grace so wonderful. That's what makes it overflow from my cup. What a great love our Lord has for us, that he would give himself for us. What a great love our Lord has for his people. That he would have us be with him for eternity, singing praises and worshiping his name. What about Romans 8:1? If that doesn't float your boat, check this out. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. White as snow. White as snow right now. These are but words of grace. Abundant grace. And when these words are revealed as truths, we see our Savior's love for us and the length that he went to save us. And this is the result. Turn to Philippians 1, chapter 21. Or chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and die is gain. What Paul is saying there, he would rather die from this world and be with Christ, because that's his gain. How many of us feel that very same way? I'm tired of the sin that I got to go through. I want to be with my Lord where I don't sin anymore. That's our greatest desire. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. Verse 22. For I am a strait betwixt two. having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Glory to His name is what we sing. His abundant mercy. His abundant grace. What is the result of that? It's our crying out, "Thank you, Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's all His. It's going to be all His anyway. We rejoice in His abundant love for us. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.